Grace and peace to you in the name and spirit of Christ. This is Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I am Lorraine Finneson, and I'm joined today by musicians Barb Fuller at the piano, Jamie Keller, Marcia Hacker, and Justin Stevens, and Jerry Fuller and Bill Lewis are helping out with the hymns today. We offer to you a heartfelt worship welcome to our service, whether you are here in person or are watching on Facebook Live. Since I'm doing the announcements, you know that Pastor Mark is away. He and our delegate, Jen Hall, are attending the annual meeting of the NACCC, which is being held in Milwaukee. I hear they are having a wonderful time so far. They will return on Tuesday. In Pastor Mark's absence, Reverend Linda Farmer Lewis will preach and lead today's service. Many of you will remember Reverend Linda, who was briefly on our staff as education director until a few months before COVID struck. She has been in our pulpit before, and it's great to have her back today. Did you wave?
Thank
yes.
You.
As most of you know from reading Friday's e-notes, Ross Jones' brother Maurice passed away on Thursday morning at age 66. We are very sorry for your loss, Ross and Candy. His memorial service will be next Wednesday, June 28 at 5 o'clock p.m. at Paradise Funeral Chapel, located on Miller Road, just east of Pennsylvania. Pastor Mark will be officiating the service. And on a much happier note, Pastor Mark and Deanne became great grandparents at 3 o'clock this morning. Grayson Lewis Huffnagel was born at McLaren Hospital, 6 pounds, 15 ounces. Everyone's doing well, I'm told. And thanks to Pastor Mark, Barb, and Jerry, we have a refurbished bride's room in the basement. So if you want to go down and take a look at it, it's very nice and just very timely since we had a wedding here just yesterday. And this was done completed on Friday. Yes. Anyway, it's the middle room on the east side, if you want to go down and take a peek. And now, a word from Tom Hacker on behalf of the building committee.
Good morning, Mayflower family and friends. Pleased to report exciting progress our building committee has made on the project to build an ADA-approved handicap lift rather than a ramp to be installed just to my left over here by this door with a new landing. We are told this wheelchair lift can move two people in 20 seconds from this floor to our lower level Friendship Center. So in the wintertime and all time of year, particularly, it's going to be so nice to be able to get our members who need wheelchair access availability from this floor to the other floor and not have to go outside. Our committee went from a pipe dream of $500,000 to build a ramp to a reality of building a lift system that looks like it's going to come in at approximately $120,000 or less. So how does a handicap wheelchair look like, and how does it work? So your building committee is coming up with a plan. So we want you to save the date, July 23rd, about 3 weeks from now. We are going to give you a presentation of how this lift looks and how this lift works. We are also going to provide a light lunch for you following the presentation of the lift. So how are we going to raise $120,000, Mayflower, for this little church? We also have a great announcement and exciting fundraising campaign that we're going to announce at this time. So everyone is invited. Please save the date of July 23rd after church for an exciting presentation of our new investment. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. And now, let us be in the spirit of worship.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. That was a different twist on a very old hymn. So good morning, Mayflower, again. It is indeed a pleasure to see all of you in worship today. I see several visitors, and you are most welcome to be here today. We talk much about the special place we call Mayflower, and we all desire to be part of the communities and organizations where we experience acceptance, love, and respect. We hope you felt that as you walked in the door today. But in the beloved community, we have been called by God, set apart, and shown the way in Christ, which puts these things into eternal perspective. God's infinite love, demonstrated by Christ's willing sacrifice, makes it possible for transformation in every arena of life. In our worship today, we consider Christ's call for us to emulate his love by courageously following his command to take up our own crosses and experience new life, which is worthy of his calling. Thanks be to God. Eternal God and our loving Lord, we were glad when they said to us, "Let's go to church." Today we ask that you would help us to consider the costs of our commitment to follow you before the benefits. We have experienced your incredible love, and we are thankful. Loving others unconditionally and putting the least of these, our brothers and sisters, before ourselves is the more difficult calling. We thank you for the inspiration and help we receive from the book we love. So bless the reading and the hearing of sacred writ, and then motivate us in this high hour of inspirational worship to share your sacrificial love with our families, friends, neighbors, community, and indeed the world. Through Jesus the Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
us where we go. And help us to be wise in times when we don't know.
Today's New Testament reading is Romans 6, 1b to 11. In my Bible, it's subtitled, Dying and Rising with Christ. Hear now these words. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God.
We come to worship to bring our gifts, the gift of our presence, our prayers, the gifts of our money and our talents, the gifts we bring in music to offer up our adoration of God, and the gifts of our friendship we offer to one another. Whether you're giving online or you're giving here in the sanctuary, we accept and praise God for all the gifts of God's people as they come together. For to that which we are, for it is the gift of ourselves that we lay upon the altar. It is the gift of ourselves that we receive. It is to what we are that we are. Let us praise God.
Praise God from whom all blessings fall. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, all body. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
The gospel reading today comes from Matthew, the 10th chapter. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have been called the master of the house of Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of this house, of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground unperceived by your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. One's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I skipped the pastoral prayer, so I won't. I'll go back and do that. A personal word, though, I must thank this congregation for its prayers for my mother, Irma Moss, who is with us today. Thanks to your prayers, so I am so grateful for all of you who have kept her so faithfully on your prayer list and have prayed for her, and I'm so grateful she and her husband Frank can be here today. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come hungry to see your face. We come looking for your grace. In the rain that falls upon the dried earth, so shall you water our souls in worship and in the world with all your many gifts. We come with fears and concerns about our world, about the state of our nationhood, about the world situation. We come concerned about the future of children in this world. We come concerned for things for ourselves, our own health, the great age that we reach at certain points. We are concerned about all these things, and we can succumb so easily to fear. But you are the God who is with us and have given us all things in Jesus Christ, even life abundant and life eternal. So we turn our faces to you as a sunflower turns its face to the sun, seeking your warmth, your grace, and your nurturing love. Be with us as a congregation that we may be those who speak your word of truth and peace to all around us. Be with us as your world in need of renewal and healing. Help us to be agents to mend the tear that is in the world, that all may find wholeness and love through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Despite the contrary and sharp words we hear both from our text in Paul's Romans and from Jesus in Matthew's gospel, today's message in Scripture is essentially one of hope and trust. In Romans, Paul gives us the heart of the gospel. Dying with Christ to sin and death, we rise with him in newness of life and freedom from all the tyranny of the world. In the gospel, Jesus affirms his disciples with assurance that they are known and valued by name. Their hairs of their head are numbered, and they are enough in God's eyes. He encourages the supremacy of the love of all other loves, which is the love of God, because it is the love of God that enables us to love fully our families and our friends and our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus' words about the divisions in family simply point to the importance of relationships and the dependence of the truth and power of the gospel for new life, for relationships to survive the double threat of sin and death. Overarching in this gospel text is the message Jesus gives over and over and over again: do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows, and God has you in the palm of his hand. Therefore, you can take up your cross with courage, for it is there that you will find the life that really is life, the relationships that you can maintain with integrity, for you have pivoted your life to the source of salvation, the love of God in Jesus Christ, whether we recognize it or not. Jesus is the proof of God's love for us. Through him, we are God's own beloved, known and valued by the Almighty. Do not be afraid. But fear sells, doesn't it? It sells really well. Just ask Rupert Murdoch. With all the things happening in our world to make us afraid, we doubt this gospel message of good news and assurance. Daily mass shootings are epidemic, the example of a society disintegrated, disconnected, and despairing, where the will to power permeates both politicians and teenagers. The culture is blind to the love of God and love of neighbor. This is not the failure of the gospel, but our own sight lines focused in fruitless directions. We live as though God is not only dead, but was never alive. and that lie has distorted our living and our loving and our communities. Paul lays it out for us, his mini-capsule lesson on how salvation works in our lives through Christ. This is it in a nutshell. God took it all on in Jesus to stamp down the power of death by dying. By refusing to defend himself, God conquered the enemy which is the love of power and the fear that leads us to sin. And by raising Jesus, God gives us the resurrection too, new life and new possibilities for ourselves, our society, new life for this world and in the world to come. The cross is transformed from an instrument of torture to an engine of redemption because it is God's love for us. It's because God is on the cross. Jesus is not the sacrificed son to appease God's anger, but the incarnate God taking on the devil on his own turf. Jesus does not die to make God happy. God dies in Jesus to give us God's new life in the Spirit, freed from all the fear and all that fear leads us to mistakenly do, shoot our neighbors. The worship of violence, duly noted in the book by Kristen Demetz, Jesus and John Wayne, subtitled How White Evangelicals Corrupted a Faith and Fractured a Nation. Jesus and John Wayne is the antithesis of the message of the cross. Do not be afraid. That's not what the talking heads are selling in the evening news, is it? They say, be afraid. Be very afraid of the immigrant, the different, the homeless, the poor. They'll take what's yours. Therefore, you must stop and crush them. That's the message of the far-right talk show's hosts. You better have plenty of guns. You're going to need them. Be afraid. Be very afraid. To counter that narrative, Jesus says over and over and over, do not be afraid. Do we live that commandment? What do we trust in? For where we place our trust will come our life. It's the lack of trust that leads us to find replacements in lesser things that can never bring the satisfaction that only the love of God supplies. We might think it, but we don't know it in ourselves. Because even as Christians, we live as though the gospel were just a nice analogy instead of the very power of God rocking the world. We live as though God is not real or directly involved in the world. As Enlightenment thinkers posited that God was the great watchmaker who set the creation in place and then stepped back to watch it run unaided by him. That's not the gospel of an incarnate God taking on flesh. God is involved. God is here. God is alive and with us, and grace is working. And it's we who fail to see and respond and rejoice in God's holy presence. And if we, the church, are nearsighted, how will the wider culture see the power of God at work? Jesus' words in Matthew are an invitation to order our priorities and our relationship within the larger context of the beloved and loving God who made us in his image, in order that we might receive God's grace and gifts so that we could live toward that which is our fulfillment as human beings, that to which you are, we are, the mystery of ourselves laid upon the altar, the mystery of ourselves we receive. Or as the theologian Kierkegaard famously summarized with this statement, either pick up your cross or forever surrender to idolatry and despair. Either pick up your cross or forever surrender to idolatry and despair. In a culture that prizes money and fame more than decency and kindness, that despises charity as a game for losers, that worships power and is sunk in addiction, the choice becomes crystal clear. Either we trust God is who Jesus says God is and turn our lives toward that reality, or we will stumble in darkness, vainly searching in fear for things and substances and defenses to secure ourselves, only to fail over and over. The truth is, we do not have the capacity to to love our families fully without the grace and the love and the forgiveness we receive from God first. God is the source of our power for loving, and with God, out God, our love turns to ash. Ecclesiastes, the teacher, writes about relationships in his fourth chapter when he says, two are better than one, for they have a good reward for their toil. For how can one be warm alone? How can one withstand an intruder alone? But two can. And then he adds, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Braided in the union of the two, there must be a third cord that lends the strength necessary to endure, and it is the love of God alone. What parent cannot understand the wayward prodigal without seeing the embrace of the father running to welcome the lost child, or the mother nurturing and teaching in every gesture what love looks like? It looks like the love of God. To take up your cross is to claim the love of God as the means by which we can more fully love who we love and have more joy in what we joy in. Abundant life, not punishment, is the message of the cross. Abundance, not scarcity, not scrounging around for bread that does not satisfy when a feast has been set before us, thinking that you're invisible when God's eye is on the sparrow and God watches over you all the time. Try living toward and into that reality more often. Try it on like a coat of love God has for you to put on, and shoes that are God's peace for you. Pick up the cross of your love of neighbor, and you'll find a friend. Know this: God is crazy about you, is dizzy in love with you, and wants you to have the moon and the stars and the sun and all rivers. All of that dizzying love of God spills over into mercy and kindness. With open hands and open wallets and open hearts, you won't even complain about your taxes anymore. Not much. God has given us new life in Jesus. The sins that selfish fear have led us to commit are expunged by a new reality in which we see ourselves and others in a game-changing love of God. A different game, no longer a life of me, but a world of we. We will care as much about the 700 drowned in the Sea of Greece and migrants fleeing for their lives as we will for 5 billionaires who perished at sea. Every saint has a past. Every sinner has a future. And our sinful world can have a future too. Hope comes in acknowledging that we are sinners in need of God's redeeming. For it is in that acknowledgement that we turn toward the love of God that he has for us, made in God's image, made for good. But inevitably, we turn away, everyone to his own way, like sheep who go astray and wander off where demons dwell, so that finally we see the difference and turn back. We are fickle and frail human beings, but God is not. God does not fail. God is steadfast in what God has done and is doing and will do in Jesus Christ, and that's what Paul is talking about. Dead to sin and alive to God, the pearl of great price, worth everything. The love of God, God gives us to share with one another. There was a Christian missionary couple in China who had worked there for many years and had two children while they were there during their time. And at the time of the Communist Revolution, they were told they were going to be deported, and all they could take with them were 200 pounds of items. They had a lot of conflict trying to decide which things to take and which things to leave. The husband had a collection of rare books, his prized possession. His wife, a sewing machine she had worked for years to buy. The children each wanted their favorite toys and their bikes. They rarely fought as a family, but each of these decisions had really divided them. Finally, they took their bruised relationships to the dock, to the last checkpoint, to weigh the items they had so carefully sorted through before boarding the ship. The guard looked very sternly at the parents and said, "Well, did you weigh the children?" What is the pearl of great price? What is your most important relationship? Who gets our priority, and what is our treasure as individuals, church, nation, and world? Is that what we see in the media or our policies? What are our priorities? What if I told you that all you could imagine you would want or think about wanting was already yours? What if you lived as though you had already inherited the kingdom? What would change in you and with those you love? Would there be a new infusion of joy? Would there be more love to share? Would you have a larger embrace, a more inclusive worldview? Would we weigh the kids, the future? If you already had everything, what could you imagine you would share? God has a new life for each of us, for our church, and for our world. So pick up your cross, and the God who is able to keep you from falling and present you blameless before the throne of grace will be with you and give you gifts you can share. To him be the power and the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, that with all our hearts and minds and souls and strength, we might love our neighbors as ourselves, and in this world have new life. Thanks be to God for the new life we have in Jesus Christ, the Lord of love. Amen.
To die, I stand and take you.
God is for us. Who can be against us? And who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am certain that neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, go in peace. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.